Golden Nugget Taxi is a firm advocate of an educated Alaska mining industry, and they fully support the placer miners in their effort to provide a stable, healthy industry for Fairbanks and interior Alaska. If you're looking for value in transportation, call Golden Nugget Taxi at 451-TAXI. That's 451-8294. Remember, let's keep our mining industry strong, and when you need a lift around town, call Golden Nugget Taxi at 451-8294. Remember, Golden Nugget Taxi believes a working community is a healthy community. Let's work together to keep our mining industry strong. A message from Golden Nugget Taxi, which offers reasonable rates and courteous, friendly service. When you need transportation, call Golden Nugget Taxi at 451-8294. That's 451-TAXI, and by the way, tell them you heard of their support for the industry from Jim on KFAR's Alaska Gold Trails. That's KFAR 660 on your radio dial in Fairbanks, Alaska.
Hello, everyone. For Johnny Holiday, I'm Kevin Kennedy reporting on sports. The U.S. Women's Figure Skating Championships conclude this weekend in Denver, Colorado, with the first three finishers in each of the...
Good afternoon, folks, and welcome to Alaska Gold Trails. I'm your host, Jim Madonna, from the University of Alaska Fairbanks Mining Extension. This is your radio show on mining in Alaska, past, present, and future. More specifically, folks, gold mining in Alaska's misty past, controversial present, and, of course, mysterious future. I'll be with you here on KFAR 660 on your radio dial each Friday from 1 to 2 p.m., where we can discuss the entire spectrum of mining in Alaska, from the fascinating and colorful history of the major and minor gold rushes to the most recent gold prospecting and mining techniques. We can discuss such topics as how you can become rich and famous by making a fabulously rich gold discovery, or perhaps the role of education in the Alaskan mining industry. And of course, we will have special guests to discuss different mining-related topics. Some will discuss where the Earth's hidden treasures might be found, while others will tell us the rules we must follow to extract them. But most of all, my friends, give us a call if you have a question or care to make a comment on mining in Alaska. We would especially like to hear from some of you early pioneers. I know many of you must have some fascinating stories that perhaps you wouldn't mind sharing with us. So if you just want to chat for a few minutes or want to share one of your favorite frontier experiences, give us a call. The number is 479-TALK. That's 479-8255. Let's talk gold mining through the years along Alaska Gold Trails. When you think about jewelry, you think about quality and, of course, that aesthetic style of beauty. And when you want quality, you always think about Larson's Jewelry, located at 4th and Noble. That's where you can rely on quality and originality, whether you're looking for wedding rings and bands or a special piece for that special person. Larson's Jewelry has been in business since 1946, and they offer full jewelry and goldsmithing service. That means they can take raw gold and create rings, bracelets, necklaces, and earrings right on the spot, and in a design of your choice. Larson's can also add diamonds, rubies, sapphires, or other gemstones from their large inventory to your new or existing jewelry piece. They can repair and rebuild jewelry, including shanks, loops, and chains. It's a comfortable feeling when you know you're getting quality as well as value. At Larson's Jewelry, they have a fine selection of silver sets and crystal that's sure, with time, to become a family treasure. And for a special gift that will long be remembered, they now have a new glass etching and engraving service. But listen, folks, Larson's is more than a jewelry store. Their wide selection of beautiful trophies and plaques can be personalized to commemorate a special occasion or achievement. For your safety and peace of mind, Larson's also has a complete locksmithing service, including installation and servicing of all types of locks and safes. For anything you need, they have it on hand. Just remember, Larson's can. Located at 4th and Noble, open 9 to 6 weekdays, 9 to 5 Saturdays. Visit today or give them a call at 456-4141. That's 456-4141. Stay tuned, folks, for some frontier fun. Today, and in just a few minutes, we're going to meet our guest, Stu Rothman, who, as many of you know, is one of Alaska's most well-known photographers. But before launching into the thick of the program, let's do what we do to give away dinner for two at Laura's Gold Strike Cafe. And that's, of course, our Frontier History Quiz. The first person to call us at 479-TALK, that's 479-8255, and give us the correct answer to our question, will win a $20 dinner for two at Laura's Gold Strike Cafe, located across from the Daily News Miner. Now listen, folks. 2 weeks ago, a listener called and asked what the difference was between an avoirdupois pound of potatoes and a troy pound of gold. Last week, we answered that question. This week, the question is, which is heavier, a troy pound of gold or an avoirdupois pound of potatoes? The number, once again, is 479-TALK. That's 479-8255, and I want to take just a quick moment to thank the folks over there at Laura's Gold Strike Cafe for providing the weekly prizes of dinner for two on Alaska Gold Trails. You all know where Laura's is. That's, of course, right across from the Daily News Miner. And we do have some phone lines lit up. Let's see what we have here. Hello, you're on the air.
The potatoes are heavier.
The potatoes are heavier. You mean to say that an avoirdupois pound of potatoes is heavier than a troy pound of gold?
That's what I thought.
That's exactly correct. Do you know how much heavier?
No.
No? The avoirdupois pound is 1.2 times as heavy as a troy pound. So we have a winner. What is your name?
Lou.
Lou? And your last name, Lou?
Andres.
And?
D-R-E-I-S.
Okay, Lou, well, thank you for playing the game. And if you'll stop right up here at the KFAR studio in Washington Plaza, pick up your certificate. That'll get you into Laura's Gold Strike Cafe, located right across from the Daily News Miner, for a dinner for two. How's that?
Thank you.
And Lou,
uh-huh.
Thanks much for playing the game, huh?
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye.
Well, that takes care of our Frontier History Quiz for today. And I just want a little reminder, in case my friend Ed Sisson wasn't listening last Thursday during our New Year's Eve presentation. Ed, we have confirmed that your price on silver 2 weeks ago was $6.80. And it was John Mann who called us up finally and gave us the true price. And that, of course, then indicates that you've won a $15 exterior car wash from Rusty over there at Fairbanks Auto Care, located at 707 Old Stees Highway. So, Ed, if you want to come up and get your certificate, you can go over there. If you haven't already, you can go over there to Rusty's and take care of getting your car cleaned up. And, John, if you weren't listening last week, I also want to thank you for giving us the information. If you'll stop over at, or if you'll come up and get a certificate, you can stop over at Oxford's and pick up a 1 troy ounce pure silver ingot. How's that? Now, we've got one more little bit of information here for you folks who are interested in mining and prospecting classes that are sure to make you rich and famous. The University of Alaska Mining Extension is offering these prospecting and mining classes for the beginner this semester, and I want to make a point here that everybody is welcome. In the spring of 1988, we have a number of classes that are important. Map interpretation for the prospector, that's going to occur on February 23rd. Here in Fairbanks at the University of Alaska. And then following that is March 21st, we're going to have rock and mineral identification and basic prospecting, two fine short courses for the public. Then on April 12th, we'll have geophysical prospecting, April 14th, field mapping, and May 13th, we'll have a short mini course on gold prospecting that is open to the public and is well enjoyed by everyone. It's a 3-day course, 2 evenings, and 1 field trip with a picnic, and everybody's welcome. So why don't you give us a call at the Mining Extension office, and the number is 474-7702, or you can give me a call at 474 Let's see, that's 456-2569. Once again, the number is 456-2569, and that's the Mining Extension Program at the University of Alaska Fairbanks, located there in the Brooks Building. Now, we're here with our guest, Stu Rothman. Stu, how are you today, and welcome to the show.
Fine, Jim. Thanks for having me up.
Well, it's a pleasure. You know, Stu, we've heard a lot about you and your photography work over the years here in the Fairbanks area, and I know that you've had a lot more experience in photography than just locally or in Alaska, but Stu, how about telling us how you happened to come to Alaska first?
Well, actually, it began in Denver, where I met my wife, because she had been in Anchorage during World War II as a teenager with her father, and we met, as I said, in Denver back in the 50s, and we're married within a few months of meeting, and we talked, no matter where we went, or she was always making reference to Alaska, and always, this wasn't like Alaska, or whatever it was, and she always wanted to come back up here. And at the time, I was in the Air Force, and I was stationed in Arizona, and the opportunity came up for an assignment to Ladd Field, and I took it, and we packed everything we had up in an old pickup, tied it to our trailer, and headed up here. And so it was, inadvertently, it was my wife that, and her dreams of returning to Alaska that brought us up here. We came up on what was then an 18-month tour, and we extended and extended, and finally they closed Ladd Field, and I worked a transfer to Eielson and extended, and when they told me I couldn't extend anymore, I says, fine, I'll get out of service and stay here. And as I recall, the colonel I worked for said, Stu, you're not going to throw away 12 years. And I said, no, Colonel, I'm going to save 8. I'd rather spend my time in Alaska than anywhere else.
You were doing photography for the service?
Yes, I was. Actually, I've been in photography a long time. I was a photographer at MacArthur's headquarters in Tokyo in 1948, 49, 50. My first real assignment was in 48. I was on the photographic team that recorded the war crimes trials of the Japanese war criminals, Tojo and Shigemitsu. And matter of fact, I still have a scrapbook with a lot of pictures of them in it.
Did you, after coming up here and, or given the assignment to come up here, tell us, how did you come up? Did you drive or did you fly?
Well, as I said, we had a trailer there in Arizona, and we, a 44-foot house trailer. We bought a 56 pickup truck, was just a couple years old, and never pulled anything in my life bigger than a boat trailer. And this was quite a new experience. As we pulled out of that trailer lot, I felt as if I had the whole state of Arizona tied to that truck. Of course, by the next day, I was doing fine. I only felt like I had the city of Phoenix tied to the truck. We started out with, there was 4 tires, of course, on the truck, and 4 on the trailer, and 2 spares. So we started with 10 tires. But what I didn't realize was most of these tires had been baking in the Arizona sun for a few years. And for the first week, we blew a tire a day. Just like clockwork, a tire a day, and They were 10-ply tires, and but they'd just been sitting baking in the sun, so we bought a lot of tires before we got out of the state.
Weren't you and your wife rock hounds before you came up here?
Oh, we've been rock hounds since the word rock was invented, I think.
And the first week on the way up here, were you collecting some stones by any chance?
Oh, yes. Oh,
and could that have accounted for the tires?
No. Our tires were collecting stones on their own.
I see.
Now, we've worn out many an S-wing. We've worn out, matter of fact, I shouldn't say many an S-wing, but I think we've each worn out at least 2 S-wings.
Rock hammers,
yeah.
Yes.
Back when in Denver, we used to go on weekends up into the mountains there at Central Cities, about 10,000 feet up, and about a nice little drive from Denver. And we'd go up above Central City down into the old glory hole and down into some of the mines there where even in July, we'd find ice crystals down deep, and we'd hack off specimens of copper and gold and silver. We have some crystals in our collection of galena, which, as you know, is lead. But we have some crystals that came right off the wall of a mine that are so pure you could actually write letters with these crystals.
That is pure. I'd like to hear more about just what the Alcan Highway was. This was in 1959, the year of statehood, wasn't it?
Yes.
Okay. In just a minute, I'd like to come back, and would you tell us when we come back about the Alcan Highway and how it was in those days of 1959?
Sure will.
B&L Pawn at the corner of Gaffney and Cushman is the most unpredictable variety store in Fairbanks. Now, folks, I said this many times, that's an understatement. It's more like having a giant garage sale in one room. One-stop shopping will get you everything. Just to give you an idea, let me list a few items. Jewelry, clocks, stereos, headphones, guns, scopes, winches, propane bottles, tools, hats, musical instruments, cameras, TVs, radios, typewriters, and the list goes on and on and on. In fact, you can get anything at B&L Pawn. B&L traditionally has offered tremendous savings, but in addition, if you tell Killer you heard it on KFAR, she'll even sweeten the deal. And if you tell her you heard it from Jim on the Alaska Gold Trails program, she'll even sweeten it more. If your money is a little tight, they'll be happy to help you out. Bring in anything you feel is of value or use, and the folks at B&L will loan you the money to get through to better days. Or if you sell items on consignment, they'll work with you on that, too. So if you're looking for anything from snowshoes to diamond rings, see the folks at B&L Pawn, 605 Gaffney. Jim, Bruce, and Killer will be happy to deal. Killer never says no. They'll sell anything but the chandelier, and only then because it's attached. However, ask Killer, you just never know. That's B&L Pawn, corner of Gaffney and Cushman. Their number is 452-6491. They're open 9 to 7, Monday through Friday, 9 to 5 on Saturday. Their number, once again, is 452-6491. And remember, tell Killer you heard it here on Alaska Gold Trails, and she'll sweeten the deal. Now, Robert, Charlene, and James Johnson own and operate a family business here in Fairbanks called Arctic Springs at 285 Alta Way. They started manufacturing leaf springs and U-bolts for all sizes and types of vehicles and heavy equipment several years ago. Because of their interest in developing a leaf spring manufacturing plant in Fairbanks, they became one of the first businesses to be awarded the use of the Made in Alaska logo for businesses using Alaskan products and labor. To give you an example of what they can do over there on Alta Way in their 6,000-square-foot manufacturing plant, well, listen to this. They manufacture and recondition springs for snow machines, cars, trucks, heavy equipment, and get this, folks, even aircraft. Springs can be re-arched and U-bolts cold bent to your specifications, and they can raise and lower your vehicle. Arctic Spring handles both standard and custom-made coil springs. Just look at some of the items they have in stock. A complete line of steel, brass, rubber, and Teflon bushings. Torsion bar axles for auto trailers, snow machine trailers, and of course, weasels. Finally, folks, they build trailers to your specifications, so bring in your blueprints or sketch. In addition, they have two huge 30-inch by 8-foot heat treatment ovens, which can accommodate just about any material that needs heat treating, including melting down that placer gold that you have into dory. So that's a little message to you placer miners out there. That's Bob, Charlene, and James Johnson at Arctic Springs, 285 Alta Way. Give them a call at 451-8612. That's 451-8612. Okay. Stu, we were talking about, by the way, folks, I'm here with Stu Rothman from Lens Unlimited. And if you'd like to ask a question of Stu or give us a call here, the number is 479-TALK. That's 479-8255. And Stu, we were going to talk about the Alcan Highway and your trip up to the North Country.
Well, you know, you were mentioning, before we get into the Alcan, you were mentioning about rock hounding outside. And there's a couple of interesting stories that I'll briefly mention. We sort of purchased our oldest daughter, Leslie. We bought her crib out of a rock hounding experience, which was kind of neat. We were lower ranking in the military then, and we were looking around. We went out rock hounding to Superior, Arizona, where they have the large, large copper mine. They're mining copper there about 5,000 feet deep. And they're bringing up a pure bornite and just beautiful peacock copper, which, if listeners aren't familiar with it, chalcopyrite or bornite, peacock copper, was checking out about 80% copper to the ton. They don't even send it to a mill. They send the rocks from the ground right to the smelter. And I used to go over to the smelter sometimes from their open pit operation at Ray. They pulled in the native copper, which are like gold nuggets, but they're copper nuggets. And I used to collect them. I've got quite a collection of copper nuggets. But one day off the conveyor belt, a piece of bornite fell about the size of my head. And I asked the foreman if I could have it, and he said, sure. And it was the most beautiful thing. We took it into Phoenix to this rockhound shop, and we were going to break it in half and do some horse trading. And the guy just took one look at it and offered me $50 for it. And I said, well, you know, $50 in 1958 was just a whole bunch of money. Mm-hmm. And so we sold it to him for $50 and took that $50 and bought Leslie's first crib. It was a gorgeous thing.
How old's Leslie today?
Leslie's 28 now, so that was actually... No, I think she's older than that. This was, she was just born then. This was at her birth. But anyhow.
It pays to be a rockhound.
It pays to be a rockhound. Coming up the highway, one of the interesting stops was in northern Arizona. We stopped by an asbestos mine. Of course, any time on our trip, I should mention that I think we probably hold the record on traveling to Alaska. We went from Arizona to Alaska nonstop, so to speak. That is, we made no detours to speak of. And it took us 47 days. So I think that's not the fastest, but I do think it might be the longest anybody ever took to get here. I do have the statistics on that. We traveled 4,277 miles. And an interesting side note, that once we got to Alaska, we went out to a scale. And I asked them to weigh me, and they told me that only commercial vehicles. And I was just curious. I wanted to see, do we have any more big hills? And we went through the scales, and they checked us out with this little pickup truck and our 44-foot trailer at 18,340-some pounds.
Nice.
The guy came out of the shack. He said, mister, he said, I don't know how you got here from Arizona, but it's all downhill for you from now on.
Stu, I think we've got a call for you here. Let's see what they've got. Hello, you're on Alaska Gold Trails.
Yes, is Stu Rothman still there?
Yeah, he's still here. You got a question for Stu?
No, this is his daughter, Leslie.
Oh, hello.
Uh-oh. I'm in trouble, right?
No, I am 28, Dad.
Oh, okay. All right, well, this was before you were born that we got that rock at the mine and bought your first crib with a piece of ore from 5,000 feet down in Arizona.
That sounds wonderful.
A little history for you there, Leslie. Something you didn't know.
Well, thank you very much.
Okay, thanks for calling, Les.
Okay, have a good day.
Thank you, Leslie.
Bye.
Anyhow, one of our first stops in Arizona when we left the trailer park there, just outside Mesa, was at an asbestos mine. And we really were really interested in getting some, so I went down into the mine. When I think today of all the mines that I've climbed down into as an amateur rockhound, quote, tourist, I think I did some pretty silly things, but I was young then and foolish, as the saying goes. But I got some interesting specimens of asbestos. We still have them today, and with their little silky fibers, and they're quite beautiful if we keep people that come and look at our collection from touching them and wanting to peel some of the silky fibers off. It's an interesting side note that I'll bet your listeners don't know that I would wager almost everybody, or at least half of the people in Fairbanks, own some petrified asbestos. And they may not be aware of what I'm talking about, but I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that have either rings or earrings or necklaces or some kind of jewelry made out of tiger eye. And tiger eye, both the gold and the green, that's petrified asbestos about 20,000 years plus old. I'm sure you're aware of that, but... Anyhow, it was quite a trip up. As I say, everywhere we went, we never traveled on weekends. We never traveled at dark. And we never went over 150 miles a day, except one time we did go about 250 to make Dawson Creek. But we had some experiences, aside from the fact that every time we saw tailings, we stopped and over we'd go to the mine to see what was there. But in southern B.C., I don't know, anybody who's driven the highway will probably know where the Peace River is in British Columbia. It's a pretty good-sized river. And when we hit it, it was summer of 59, and a giant flood and tremendous storm had washed the bridge out before we got there. And here's this half-mile or almost wide chasm with no bridge. And the Yukon Mounted Police had set up, or the British Columbia Territorial Police had set up a roadblock off to the side and were detouring traffic across about a mile and a half cat trail to a railroad bridge. Now, anybody who's crossed the Peace River on the bridge that's there today, if they remember looking to their left as they're heading north, there's a railroad bridge about a quarter to a three-quarters of a mile away. This railroad bridge is one pair of tracks with no side rails, and it's quite high off the riverbed, quite high. And they had thrown planks between the tracks and planks to the outside and were sending the traffic across. That was the only way to cross the river. And here I am in this 1946 three-quarter ton pickup and a 44-foot house trailer with my wife Lee and Leslie in a little tiny crib between us. She was just a few months old. And I'm telling you, if you've ever heard of a white-knuckle trip, was a white-knuckle trip across that bridge. I will never forget it.
I'd like to hear some more stories about your adventures coming up the Alcan, Stu, in just a minute. Right now, I want to talk about our friends over at Gabe's Truck and Auto. Whether it's an auto, light truck, motorhome, or big rig, for the best service in town, it's Gabe's Truck and Auto Repair, and that's not just my opinion, folks. Last year, the Fairbanks Chamber of Commerce gave Gabe's Truck and Auto their prestigious Raven About Fairbanks Award for providing the best vehicle service in Fairbanks. Gabe's has two large shops and eight mechanics on hand to serve you. With that much attention, you know you will get fast, courteous service and have your vehicle back in a hurry. In addition to engine and general vehicle maintenance, Gabe's can also repair automatic transmissions, realign front ends, and repair mount and balance tires. New and rebuilt engines come with a 12-month or 12,000-mile warranty. As you can see, Gabe's is a one-stop service center. And if you need an IM inspection, get this, folks. Gabe's has a no-pass, no-pay policy. That's right. If you don't pass, you don't pay at Gabe's. Gabe's also has a special deal for the folks who are getting your vehicle ready for winter. If you get an oil change, filter, and lube, or tune-up at Gabe's, you'll also get a free winterization inspection. This 30-minute inspection covers such items as heater, antifreeze, check gearboxes, inspect fan belts, battery, and all fluid levels in your vehicle. And don't forget Gabe's towing service. He has three wreckers available 24 hours a day and can handle any size rig. Getting a tow is as easy as calling 456-6156. With this icy weather, you might want to write that number down and put it in your glove box. 456-6156. You can turn your rag into a ride at Gabe's Truck and Auto, located off Van Horn Road, right near Metro Field, or give them a call. The number, once again, is 456-6156.
Well, he must be learning. Sean Penn, who's been on the wrong side of the law too many times, well, Sean actually helped the police yesterday, making a citizen's arrest after a man allegedly drove his truck through the gate of Sean's Malibu estate. TV highlights this weekend include Bob Hope's USO Christmas show from the Persian Gulf. That's tomorrow. And on Sunday night, Terrorist on Trial, the United States versus Salem Ajami. Ron Liebman, who plays a Jewish lawyer defending an Arab terrorist, told me that he found the inherent conflict intriguing, both personally and professionally.
Morally, the guy is correct. His job is he's a lawyer. There's a question of due process. There's a question of the American judicial system. Would you rather live here and have a fair trial or live in a place like the Soviet Union and take your chances? Ha, ha, ha. Well, I'd rather live here.
And you knew this had to happen. Plans are on for a tour of a new stage show, Elvis, an American musical, will debut July 1st. At the Las Vegas Hilton. I'm Joanna Langfield.
Yes, sir. Can I help you?
I decided to make my family a homemade Italian spaghetti dinner.
Well, I'm Antonio. My Italian gourmet market was the place to come to. Here you go.
What's this?
Prego spaghetti sauce.
No, I want the individual ingredients like oregano
it's in there.
And basil
it's in there.
And garlic.
It's in there.
Are you trying to tell me everything, even the herbs and spices, are in this jar of Prego spaghetti sauce?
Put your nose up against the jar. What do you see?
It's in there.
It's in there, yeah. How about some nice bread?
Yeah. Don't miss the Prego coupon challenge in this Sunday's newspaper. Homemade taste. It's in there.
sir. What are you doing?
Oh, I'm a bird watcher.
Did you know you're standing in quicksand?
Oh, dear. I thought I was getting shorter.
Looks like you're having a bad day.
Say, you wouldn't by chance have a length of rope on you?
I have something better. An FTD pick-me-up bouquet.
Flowers and a teacup?
A rainbow coffee mug and a tote bag.
Hmm, it's quite lovely.
Here, I'll pull you out.
I say, this FTD pick-me-up bouquet is a smashing way to get back on solid ground.
Quite so.
Hector's Welding, located at 13 Mile Richardson Highway, has been serving Alaska for 40 years. Their 14,400 square foot shop is capable of handling the most demanding work quickly and efficiently. Listen to this list of services. They can replace dozer blade liners. They also rebuild loader buckets and ripper shanks. They do heavy equipment repairs and modifications. And their specialty, mining equipment fabrication, including sluice boxes, conveyors, feeders, grizzlies, and complete screening plants. They also fabricate specialized riffles and punch plate. They have portable welding units for fast on-site repairs. Hector's fully equipped fabrication shop is ready to serve you. Bring out your ideas and blueprints. It's a well-known fact that anywhere in the interior where the big jobs are done, men in the field depend on Hector's for proven, rapid, reliable work. Rush jobs are no problem. Remember, Hector's Welding has been getting the job done and done right for 40 years. And now, an all-new service, Flocculants. Hector's is the gel log distributor. There's a free test kit for you placer miners available. All you have to do is stop out at Hector's at 13 Mile Richardson Highway and pick up the kit. Remember, folks, it's free. Wherever Alaska miners are working, Hector's is the first name in gold recovery equipment. Located at 13 Mile Richardson Highway. Phone 488-6432. The number once again is 488-6432. Stu, do you have some more exciting adventures along the Alcan for us?
Well, we had a couple of more. We had quite a few things happened in a 47-day trip, but there's one or two more highlights. An interesting one, I don't know if we really should tell it over the air, but we sort of stopped for a rest period outside the Liard Hot Springs. And that's just south of Whitehorse. And Liard Hot Springs, I don't know how they are today, but in those days, it was sort of a half-broken, rotting sidewalk of wood planks, went back through the swamp, so to speak, and back through the ferns and tropical areas. And I've seen it again in the wintertime, and it can be super cold with snow, but along that trail are summer ferns, and it's just beautiful. Well, when you get back past the first stop where there was a little stream going by filled with sulfur flowers, you get back to the big, big hot pool. And it's not a pool like a refined with cement sides and everything. It's just a hole in the dirt. But it's a good-sized hole. And the water is so hot that it saps your strength and energy, so you just want to sort of lie there. There's a great big rope lying across it. And not having a bathing suit, I just said, the heck, there's nobody there. And my wife was back at the trailer at the roadside with Leslie, and I sort of went skinny dipping. And I was relaxing out in the middle of this pond, sort of laying on the rope that was stretched across it, relaxing. And I heard a couple of voices coming up the path and a scream. And there was a couple of party of school teachers, as I later found out, which kept me submerged up to my neck in the center of that pool for about a half an hour.
One of the true adventures along the Alcan.
But, you know, when we left there, just to show you the big heart of people along the highway, I want to tell you an interesting story about the people in Whitehorse and a fellow by the name of Cloud or McLeod. And it really is something. We were traveling. We'd left Liard Hot Springs. We were pulling along, and I just happened to glance in the rearview mirrors and noticed that my trailer was coming along behind me semi-sideways, which, of course, put me in quite a panic. We pulled over and stopped, and I went back and crawled underneath, and what had happened was one of the wires to the brakes, the electric brakes on one side of the trailer, had gotten caught between the springs and broken some quite distance back, apparently. And then every time you hit the brakes on the trailer, which I had been doing as you go down hills and different things, you don't hit your truck brakes, you just put your trailer brakes to have it slow you, the brakes were only activated on one side. And this put such a strain on the other side that it eventually
broke the spring shackles, and my wheels, all both axles, all four wheels, were kitty-cornered, and the trailer was moving down the road sideways. And I was panicked. I'm out in the middle of nowhere, a few miles from Whitehorse. What do you do? Well, we went into Whitehorse very slowly, and they had a tourist information center, and we stopped there, and I explained to the lady, whose name was Cloud, and I explained to her what had happened, and I asked her if she knew anybody, this was a Sunday night, anybody that might be able to help me. And she said, well, her husband was a mechanic with the Canadian Pacific Airways. She'd call him. He came out, took one look at the situation, jumped in his pickup, and said, follow me. And we went up to the airfield, and I followed him right into the hangar, and then he manipulated this crane from the ceiling that they used to pick up airplanes, and literally put a couple of beams under my trailer and picked up this 44-foot, 9-ton load and suspended it in midair while we got underneath and pulled the shackles off, and he rebuilt one, and in about 4 hours, I was on my way, and he wouldn't accept any pay or anything. And matter of fact, we corresponded for a good 20 years after that. I think he's passed away now.
A classic example of frontier hospitality.
Oh, it is. It is really fantastic.
I would like to get back with you and talk about some of your experiences after you arrived here in Fairbanks, too, just after these messages. It's bonanza time, folks. Robbie at Tip Top Chevrolet says that all 1987 trucks must go. They're having a giant year-end truck sale. For power, performance, and comfort, you can't beat a Chevrolet truck. The 6-year, 60,000-mile limited warranty is standard. Come in, look them over, take a test drive. No reasonable offer will be refused. Tip Top Chevrolet has what you want, whether gas or diesel, 2- or 4-wheel drive, small, comfortable, and sporty, or a full-size work truck. Robbie is ready to deal. For the best selection and the best prices, stop in today at Tip Top Chevrolet, 1916 South Cushman. Listen to the components on some of these models. The S10 Blazers have a powerful 2.8-liter V6 with electronic fuel injection. A smooth ride with fully independent front suspension is standard. Bucket seats in front are standard on the S10s. All units in stock have 4-wheel drive. The S10 pickups have heavy-duty construction, heavy-duty payload package, fully independent front suspension. Hot wax coating on the entire frame helps fight effects of road salt and dirt. And on the full-size pickups, electronic fuel injection is now standard, and the Vortec V6 engine, one of the most powerful standard engines in a half-ton pickup. Fleet-side or step-side boxes are also available, and of course, your selection of a crew cab or bonus cab. And finally, the option of gas or diesel power. That's Tip Top Chevrolet, 1916 Cushman Street, phone 452-8211. And don't forget Robbie's safety tip, buckle up, folks, with Tip Top Chevrolet. How'd you like to strike it rich? I think everybody would like to strike it rich once in a while. Well, that's exactly what will happen if you travel out to 16-mile Chena Hot Springs Road and dine at Two Rivers Lodge. What an evening you will have. An enchanting log structure with frontier decor, complete with a solarium overlooking a beautiful tree-bordered lake. What a pleasant setting for your dining pleasure. If you enjoy interesting new tastes, the menu alone will be exciting. Their appetizers include such delicacies as shrimp cocktail, stuffed mushroom caps, and, of course, the one I enjoy, hot and spicy chicken. Give it a try. I guarantee you'll love it. There's a complete list of main dishes, including veal plate, fresh seafood plates, and, of course, chicken plates, and we don't want to overlook the pleasures of steaks. And for dessert, my favorite, grapefruit pie, a fluffy body with bits of grapefruit spread throughout to add a delightfully tangy taste. Drinks, they have anything you might want, and perhaps some you have never heard of. And don't forget Two Rivers Special Coconut Brownie. That's Two Rivers Lodge, located at 16-mile Chena Hot Springs Road. For reservations, phone 488-6815. Once again, the number for reservations is 488-6815, and tell Stasha and Don, Jim, from Alaska Gold Trails, set you out. Stu, back to the Alcan. We came into Fairbanks after our long journey. Kind of a lazy journey, wasn't it, Stu?
Oh, it was a wonderful journey. I'd like to take another 47-day trip and do it.
Stu, when you got to Fairbanks, what did you do besides photography? What did you do for extracurricular activity? I think you told me at one time that you were working out at the Nassau. site?
Yes, back in the early to mid-60s, I worked for NASA for a couple of years as a NASA photographer. We had one of these cameras on a 40-foot-long tripod that was embedded down into base rock, and we had used 8x10 glass plates and photographed the satellites as they went by, both American and Russian satellites as they passed over Alaska. Used to do that in those days, but that has been replaced now by all electronic surveillance, so they don't use the photography anymore. But, you know, it's an interesting sidelight that that was really not my first taste of gold mining, because I'd been doing some recreational gold panning in years past up here, but that was the first time I ever worked with somebody that had a sluice. A friend of mine named Zeke was what everybody called him, was Dick Selesnok. He had a little electronic business over there on College Road back in the early 60s, mid-60s. And he had a little old dredge run by a little one-lunger gasoline engine. And we'd get out there nights and weekends right up the Gilmore Trail. Just actually, I think it was on NASA property, so I probably shouldn't even talk about it. But nobody cared back then. And we'd fire that thing up, and he'd shoot it up at the hillside and wash a bunch down. And then a bunch of guys would get in there with their gold pans and do some backbreaking work. And we managed to come up with some color and some little pebble nuggets. I know that back in when I first got up here and in the early 60s, where everybody in town that I knew used to go out on weekends and pan for gold, but it all depended on the winter. In order to be successful, that we found this out the hard way, in order to be successful at panning gold, recreational-type panning, you have to have had a winter with a lot of snow, not necessarily in the city, but a lot of snow up in the hills. And then you needed a quick thaw. And this would wash that heavy snowpack in the hills would come down those valleys fast, and it would wash the gold from all along the hillside down into the low flats. And so that spring you could go out and pan and really come up with some nice little nuggets. If there was a light snowfall or snow cover up in the hills, even if there was a quick thaw, there just wasn't enough power behind the water to wash the nuggets down. And if there was a lot of snow, but a very slow, gradual thaw, then there wasn't enough water pressure to knock it down. So you had to have that combination of a big snowpack in the hills and a real fast thaw. And whenever you had that combination occur, well, you go out in June, July, and just there'd be people from Fairbanks elbow to elbow in those creeks panning for and picking up more than just color. We used to... You know, just like in photography, it's a great thrill to have a picture framed and on the wall that you took, you developed, and you printed, and literally created yourself. Well, in gold and in jewelry, it's the same feeling to have a pair of earrings or a necklace or a ring or a tie tack, a pair of cufflinks made from nuggets that you actually panned yourself. Or they have those little bezels that you fill with the fine gold. We did a couple of those. Matter of fact, my other daughter, Karen, she ate one of those one time. It was a necklace she had, and although we looked for it, we never found it.
This sounds like a testimonial for gold panning, sluicing, and suction dredging, Stu, and you had a great time with it, didn't you, on the weekend?
Yes. I think so. I think, you know, I don't think I'd want to do it for a living. My hat's off to the guys who go out and pan for a living, but most of the miners who pan, or not pan, most of the miners who mine for a living today are using semi-mechanized and motorized stuff and grizzlies and sluices that they don't have to stand over and squat and bend over back-breaking like the old sourdoughs did. And, boy, my hat's off to anybody who can do that, because I know even when I was younger, you squat down in a nice cool stream and break your back and pan, you may get a bunch of color and you may get some little nuggets, but boy, you work for them.
Recreationally, it's great, but when it comes time to making a living out of it, it's a little bit tough. Is that it, Stu?
It would be tough to make a living with a gold pan today unless you hit an awfully rich spot.
Stu, we want to get back to some of your photography work and how Lens Unlimited came about just after these messages. Hardworking miners need hardworking equipment. You'll get the equipment and service you need at Georgia Saw Shop, 520 Church Street, right next to the News Miner building. space heater repairs done, all types and sizes, all brands such as Champion, Koring, Master Heater, and others. Complete line of parts in stock if you want to repair your own. Also, Georgia Saw Shop repairs gas and diesel generators of any size and, of course, stocks parts for them all. Need parts for an engine? Georgia Saw Shop has a complete line of parts for Briggs and Stratton, Tecumseh, Wisconsin, Kohler, and others. Nearly any engine used around the home, farm, mine, or for industrial use. Georgia Saw Shop also sells replacement engines for all of the above. Chainsaws, they sell the best and service the rest. That's Georgia Saw Shop. Get a new Husqvarna, Solo or Pullen. During the month of January, Georgia Saw Shop is having a Trapper special sale. Get a Pullen Model 1800 with 10-inch bar and chain for only $124.95. Perfect size for packing in your snow machine or sled. Or try the new Husqvarna Model 45 with an 18-inch bar and chain. Lightweight and powerful, but at the same time, compact and efficient. Husky chainsaws are world famous for their fine vibration isolation. The new Model 45 is introductory, priced at only $319.95. Chainsaw service? Bring in your chainsaw for a tune-up and cleaning, complete repair, and or sharpening of the chain. Georgia Saw Shop services all brands and carries bars, chains, and accessories to fit any chainsaw. For top quality service and equipment, visit the business you can depend on. Visit Georgia Saw Shop next door to the News Miner building. Open 8:30 to 5:30 Monday through Friday and 9 to 1 on Saturday. Questions? Just call 452-2069 and ask for George or his lovely wife and partner, Barbara. That's 452-2069. And folks, you can't miss the building. As you cross the Cushman Street Bridge, you'll look right at that historic Church Street building sitting there, picturesque, and surrounded by all these modern types. It's just a beauty to behold. So that's George's Saw Shop right there at Church Street. And their number, once again, is 452-2069. And one of our fine sponsors here that supports Alaska Gold Trails has a question. Where do the miners sell their gold? Everyone knows they sell it to the precious metals people. Oxford Assay and Refining, located at 208 Wendell Street. In addition, Oxford also has some fascinating precious metal gift and investment ideas. These include sending gifts of silver. Listen to this, folks. The silver Alaskan coin and the Oxford Alaska bar. These 1 ounce pure silver pieces are a unique way to share Alaska with friends and family for under $10 each. And here's a super idea. 1 ounce pure silver rounds. What's a silver round? It's a coin. Silver coin priced at only 95 cents over the daily quote. And you know how to get the daily quote. You simply phone Oxford's quote line at 452-7858. That's a good number to remember. You never know when that number might not be good for dinner for two. And they also have the 1987 American Gold Eagles available now with four sizes to choose from, starting at $65 for the 1/10 ounce coin. Add a 14 karat gold bezel with a chain and you have that perfect gift for that someone special. Gold coins and ingots from around the world, including the Canadian maple leaf, available in all sizes starting at $25 a piece. And don't forget, genuine Alaskan gold nuggets are truly the Alaskan gift. Stop by and view their fine selection starting at just $28.50 a penny weight. Give gifts of lasting value that will long be remembered. Give gold and silver. Now available from your precious metal people, Oxford Assaying and Refining, 208 Wendell Street. For information, 456-3967. That's 456-3967. And don't forget their special precious metal quote line is 452-7858 for daily prices on gold, silver, and platinum. The quote line, once again, is 452-7858. Stu, We're back here with you again, and I want to remind our listening audience that we're here with Stu Rothman from Lens Unlimited. And if you'd like to give Stu a call, the number here is 479-8255. Stu, tell us just how Lens Unlimited came into existence.
Well, back in the late 50s, early 60s, Claire Fage had the Hobby House on 2nd Avenue. Was right downstairs from where the Alaska Weekly is today. And then in the basement, or the lower level, we should say, underneath the Hobby House was the Alaska Art Gallery. And Claire had had many, many shows there over the years of famous and well-known local artists of paintings with oil and acrylics and watercolors, but she'd never had a show of photography. And so in 60 or 61 it was, she asked us if we'd like to put together a show and about a dozen photographers here in town combined to make a show called The Alaskan Eye. It had such great success and people were so interested in the photography, the next year Claire asked me if I'd have the first one-man show in the state, as far as we knew, and I did. We called it, I didn't know what to call it. I had 150 16 by 20s on display. Dr. Wood, who was president of the university then, came down and cut the ribbon on opening day. It was about 50 below zero, and we packed the place. And as a matter of fact, Claire said it had bigger attendance than any of the shows she's had up till then. And Jim Bischoff from the TV newscaster on Channel 11, a very close friend, was down with me, and I said, we just finished setting the show up. I said, what shall I call it? And he looked around and said, well, your pictures cover all aspects of photography. Why not call it The Unlimited Lens? And I said, no, wait a minute, The Lens Unlimited. And so almost 30 years ago, the name was born. I've used it for my studio and used it ever since.
Well, that's a fascinating story. You take pictures all over the state of Alaska, and you have a couple of books out, don't you, Stu?
Well, The Lens is My Brush, A Window on Life. I've got quite a few out. I see we're getting near the end, and before we go off the air, could I mention a different subject? I have a show on this station tomorrow between 2 and 3, and I've got a guest who is the program director of the Head Start program here in Fairbanks. We're going to be talking about computers a little bit, how they're used there at Head Start for the children, and we're also going, anybody who's interested in Head Start program about their children or other children are welcome to listen, tune in, call in, same number, between 2 and 3 tomorrow. I just wanted to get that plug in before we got to the end.
And you just, how long ago did you start that show, Stu?
That show started just last Saturday, as a matter of fact. It's going to be every Saturday from 2 to 3. Mike, and we're doing a column for the News Miner, also called Taking a Bite, and that's every Sunday in the News Miner, but that's strictly on computers. The radio show will be computers and whatever people want to talk about.
Okay, that's great.
Yeah, it's been real enjoyable coming up here today with you, and I appreciate the opportunity. It's kind of fun reliving some of the things that have happened to me in the past up here.
It's, you know, sometimes it seems like the time isn't long enough for us. It keeps slipping away. And I want to thank you, Stu Rothman, for sharing your time with us today. And I know that you have provided a lot of information for the listening audience, and we've learned a lot. And I also want to thank the listening audience for taking part in the program with your letters and, of course, your phone calls. And keep them coming, folks, because we love it. Next week, our guest is going to be Mac Fenton, a longtime Alaskan. And, folks, it's been fun. This is Jim Madonna on Alaska Gold Trails. Until next week, happy prospecting.
From ABC News, I'm Doug Limerick. Just when investors